John chapter 10, the Gospel of John, please, chapter 10. It is a familiar passage. I'm just going to read from the words of verse 1. John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them. But they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Amen. We'll just end our reading there at the end of verse 18. We know the Lord himself will add his own blessing upon it. One of the best known passages, and therefore one which people can quote from, is that of the parable style preaching of the Saviour as he speaks here of the shepherd and the sheep. You'll notice from the close of chapter 9 that he's been speaking to the Pharisees, those the religious leaders of that day. And it seems certainly by the words of verse 1 as well as by the words of verse 6 that he was to continue to address them, and that for good reason. It was the Pharisees, you see, who set themselves against Christ and who set themselves against the message that he proclaimed. And that which riled them and that which caused them to be stern in their opposition of the Saviour was that they felt themselves to be the shepherds and the pastors of the people. And that being so, in their own estimation, that Jesus of Nazareth who had come into their midst, he had no warrant to teach the people. He was just an intruder. He was just an impostor as far as they were concerned. And the people therefore had good reason and cause to object and to oppose him on every account. And so what we have in these following verses that we have read tonight is the answer that the Saviour gives to their position. And what he does is not only emphasize who the true shepherd of the sheep really is, but he also exposes who the false shepherds and the hirelings really were. The thieves and the robbers were the Pharisees. For they had taught the traditions of men in the place of the truth of God. And thereby they're called, well, they were thieves. They were robbing the people of God's word. There was but one true shepherd and pastor of the flock of God, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he identifies himself here with the shepherd of the Old Testament. It's the sort of language that they would have understood, having the Old Testament scriptures. And so whether you think of Abel, or whether you think of Jacob, or whether you think of Moses or David, who were all shepherding in some fashion, in some part of their lives, they're all types of the Savior, the great shepherd of the sheep. And in these verses he proceeds to speak of his sheep. You'll see it didn't go down well. We didn't read the verse, but I draw you to it. Verse 19. There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. They didn't like what he said. And that was the reaction to those sayings that weren't favorable to them. They didn't want it and they didn't like it. But it is to one of those sayings that I draw your attention to this evening, in the words of verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. How many times have you read that? And maybe I'm wrong, but maybe you've asked yourself, what does that mean? I simply entitled the message, The Other Sheep. I want you to see, first of all, here the prediction of Christ, the prediction of the shepherd. The Savior, having spoken of knowing his sheep, and that which sets them apart is they know him. There is that personal relationship whereby we can say tonight, I am his, and he is mine. But while that is Zacchaeus, and while that is in the present tense, the Lord was to reveal to this congregation that there were others that he also knew. And I want you to see how he describes them here. And he says, and other sheep. Does that stop there? They were not wolves in sheep's clothing. They were not the hireling or the thief or the robber that he is now found to be speaking of. They were the other sheep. A minimum in such a description reminds us of how each of God's people are described in the scriptures. Isaiah 53, of course, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Or you think, and come back with me, as you see it in Matthew 25, of that great scene portrayed at the end of time. Matthew 25, in the words of verse 32. Previous verse details, of course, the Son of Man having come, and he will sit down upon the throne of his glory. It says, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's the people of God that are described on the right hand of the Father. And they're described as the sheep of the Lord. They're not the goats of the devil. And it will be those who will be welcomed into the kingdom of God, prepared for them from the foundation of the world. That's when God set his love upon you. That's when God prepared the kingdom for you and me, from the very foundation of this world. So there's no doubt over whom he's describing here in this verse. It is the sheep, and they are the people of God. But I want you to go on a little further with me now. He says, and other sheep I have. For there's a certainty expressed. The Lord speaks of these as a certainty. I have them even though they were still on call. They still weren't in the fold. I have them even though many of them are still unborn. But the certainty was that they belonged to Christ. They were a gift from the Father, and they were those for whom Christ would die. They weren't his followers as yet. But in a little while, he would go to the cross, and on that cross he would shed his own precious blood for them on that old Roman gibbet, for they had been given to him in eternity past. And he says, I and other sheep I have. Don't forget now who he's speaking to. Pharisees are there before him. Isn't that the same truth as is found in Acts? You come over with me to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, the opening of it, speaks about the time where the Apostle Paul goes to Corinth. Of course, he has two epistles that he writes to them later on. And he goes to this city. And I want you to notice the words of verse 9. He says, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set in thee to hurt thee. I'm not so sure that Paul had second thoughts about staying in this place. And maybe he was getting a very rough time. And maybe there were threatenings all around him. And maybe he said, Lord, well, it's time I'm out of here. But you see what he says at the end of verse 10? He says, for I have much people in this side. Now, Paul hadn't seen it yet. But the Lord in that vision in the night reminds him, Paul, I have much people in this side. Even though it was a heathen, even though it was a godless place, yet the Lord was to speak to him with the same certainty. I have much people in this city. What was his response? Verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. He preached it. He continued. He didn't leave them. But he brought them and taught them the word of God. Other sheep I have. You see the diversity that the Savior speaks about here? And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. The Savior's preaching before the Pharisees, those religious leaders of the people, of the Jewish people of that day. And yet the Lord states that he has other sheep which were not of them. The accusation, you see, was that the Lord had just a few followers. He needn't follow that Jesus of Nazareth. He's just a little flock with him. But the Lord reminds these accusers and he reminds these scorners that there were more in his flock than they could see or that they ever could realize. And what's more, they were not all from within Judaism. He speaks, you see, of the Gentile peoples who were also to be reached. Thank God tonight there are the other sheep. For that's where you and I are sitting. That includes you and me. Don't think any of you are Jews. You might practice it, but you're not born that way. You're Gentiles. And on the cross, the Lord was to have those other sheep in his heart. He was to obtain redemption for each one. He was to turn away God's wrath from us. He was to open up a way whereby we could be at peace with God. Isn't that a lovely verse of 1 John 2? And verse 2 brings it in the very thought. And he is our propitiation. I've explained to you often. It simply means turning away the wrath of God. He is our appeasement. For our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. His sheep will come from every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, and every nation. Is there not sheep for whom Christ died? For in this very town? What an encouragement that is to our hearts to know that the Lord has yet other sheep. There are others yet to be saved. And we have all the incentive, therefore, that we need to pray that God in His mercy would fulfill His word more and more and add unto His church such as should be saved. The Lord would come to our hearts tonight and He would remind us, other sheep I have, but you're not of this fold. They may not be in our congregation yet, but there's others out there that yet have to be reached. Let me go on a little further from that. Let me show you, secondly, the purpose of Christ. What was the work of the Lord? What was His purpose to effect where these sheep are concerned? I want you to see that there's a must for the Lord here. Look at it. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. As the instinct of the sheep is to be lost, and to wander away. And so it is true of every one of Adam's fallen race. We are lost in sin. We wander far away from the tender shepherd's care. And if the sinner is to be saved, then the necessity is that they are to be sought for and they are to be found. And the Lord was the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's the Lord who must bring them. Bring them from the depths of their sin. Bring them from the wilderness of this world. Bring them from the men of this world. Bring them from their former sinful compassions and thoughts of this world. Bring them from the folds of sin and Satan. Bring them from the pastures of their own self-righteousness. The Lord alone can bring them. They cannot bring themselves, and no one else can bring them. But the Lord who loved them and gave Himself for us. Where does He bring them? He brings them to Himself. You look back to the night of the day of your conversion. What happened? The Lord brought you from where you were in your depths of sin, and He drew you unto Himself. He brings us into the Father's presence. How can we know the Father? Except through the Son. He brings us to His fold. He brings us to His house. He brings us to those green pastures. In the sense of the word there in Psalm 23 is the best pastures. And at last He will bring us to His heavenly kingdom and glory. The necessity is such that if the Lord does not bring them, then they will perish eternally. Except the Spirit draw them, they cannot come. John chapter 6. And verse 44 says, no man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. We looked at that verse not so long ago, John 12 verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto Me. The Godhead is involved in the bringing of the sinner from the fold of their sin and the devil unto Christ and into the fold of God. You'll think with me also of the means that Christ uses to bring the sheep. He uses His people as instruments. The foolish things of this world to confound those things which are mighty. The means whereby the lost sheep of the Lord are to be found is Spirit-filled men and women who are equipped with nothing else but the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Just you come with me till I show you it. Acts chapter 8. Just a wee summary here. If you think of the early church, that's what we're looking at. You think of the preaching of the apostles. You come to chapter 8. You're faced really with the preaching of Philip. In chapter 8 we read that Philip went to the city of Samaria. What did he do? First thing, he preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ. Just a Spirit-filled man. And we read that the word was gladly received. There was joy in the city. There was a revival there. Oh, for such days in Kilkeel again, where men and women would gladly receive the word. And those in Samaria, there were those who were possessed, they were delivered. Those who were lame, they were made to walk. And where there's a real work done, of course, there's always the counterfeit. That's why you read about Simon here. He's a case in point. But amidst those great scenes of the power of God, Philip was to be called into the desert. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Why on earth would God call him to go down into the desert? Why would God call take him away from that great scene in Samaria where many were receiving the word with gladness? Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. That's why. And in obedience to God's call, Philip left and Philip went. And he was to reach that Ethiopian with the message of Christ so that he was saved. And he went back into his own country, a changed man and a saved man. There's every possibility he wasn't a Jew either. Or at least he wasn't a full red one. All right, let's go into chapter 9. Next chapter 9. You have a man this time by the name of Ananias. And Ananias was to receive a word from the Lord to go and seek out Saul of Tarsus and lay his hand upon him. Why? Lord, I've heard from many about that man. I've heard, Lord, that man's a racker. That man is trouble. That man has done many evil things to the church. And you're asking me to go and meet with this man and lay your hands upon him? What Ananias was to learn was that the Lord had other sheep, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. And he brought Saul unto himself in salvation. You look at the words of verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. And didn't he do that in his life's ministry? He even stood before the kings. Agrippa comes to mind. Let's go into chapter 10. Peter, he's upon the housetop. As you heard last Tuesday, the houses over there didn't have the pitch. Flat. And in that vision, on the housetop in the sixth hour, just about midday, Peter's vision consisted of a sheep being led down before him with unclean animals. And he was to be commanded, he was commanded to arise and to eat. And he remonstrated about that. That wasn't something they did. That was something that was forbidden to the Jew. And he remonstrated on three occasions. What did it mean? Verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men. That's why three times, you say. Three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down. Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Peter was to learn our text tonight. Other sheep I have of this fold that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And so he began his preaching in Cornelius' house by stating that truth. Look at verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He's got it. He's got the truth. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Peter, go and preach to them. That day Gentiles were reached, and Gentiles were converted to Christ. And the purpose of Christ is that he must bring men, and he uses his people as a means to effect that purpose. Tell me tonight, is he using you? Is he using you? Is he using me? Has he not placed this church in this very town for that very purpose? That's why we're here. Other sheep I have, them also I must bring. Let's just look at the end of it, and I want you to see the promise to his sheep here. In a day of small things, of just little flocks, any encouragement is very welcome. And that's what we have here. There's the promise of the Lord here. Let me read the verse again. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. What a promise. They shall hear his voice. And the sense is not merely on the external. But there's countless numbers hear the word of God's word today on the outward. And I'll go as far to say they pride themselves in saying, I go to my church on a Sunday morning, and they hear externally. And we have them on our own congregation, listen, they hear the word externally, but they're still not saved. But you see, when they hear Christ's voice in their heart, when they hear that voice above the voice of the preacher, when they hear that effectual call that is irresistible, then it is evidence that there has been a drawing work done. It's the grace of God that unstops the ears. It's the grace of God that opens their heart to receive the word as they've never received it before. That word which is able to make them wise unto salvation, and is able to give them an understanding in it, and is able to cause them to see, I am that sinner. I am that one that needs the Savior. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need the Lord to fulfill his promise in these days. Days where Paul reminds us, of course, that they will turn away their ears from the truth, and they will be turned on to fables. That's the day we're in. Men and women would rather listen to a wee fairy tale story today. But God is able by his grace to unstop the ears, to open the heart. May we pray tonight to see it for ourselves. That God would fulfill this promise. They shall hear my voice. And if they hear the voice of the Lord, I tell you, Sunday will be a different Sunday for them. The Sabbath day will be a different Sabbath. And the meetings in God's house will be different than they've ever sat in before. But the promise goes on. The promise is also of one shepherd and of one flock. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, that's not some ecumenical unity that's been sought about today. But it speaks of the church of Christ with one head, one shepherd. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and with all his people in that one flock. Because of the sacrifice of the Savior on the cross, the middle wall of partition has been broken down. You come to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and Paul's writing to the believers, of course. He reminds them what they were before they were saved, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, they're just lost sheep before, were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Look at verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. There's a good verse of the Trinity, by the way. Verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. The middle wall of partition is broken down. Christ is our peace, and he has made peace on behalf of his people with the Father. He's recovered all that we lost in our first Adam. Each of his redeemed are members of his one body. Tonight you and I are in blessed union with Christ. We're in union with the Saviour. And they never break us off. There's one general assembly. There's one church of the firstborn. There's one family to which all for whom Christ died shall one day be safely gathered in. And therefore the reason why the fold is used to illustrate Christ's church. And the shepherd of his flock is one who loves his sheep, and he feeds his sheep, and he cares for his sheep. And he protects his sheep. We've often heard the thought illustrated to the boys and girls that in those days the shepherd used to lie across the door of the fold. That's protecting the sheep, protecting the flock from the wolf that would seek them. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Are you doing that? Our people have many cares at the moment. There's many homes with many anxieties, troubles. Bring your cares to the Lord. Cast them all upon him. He careth for you. You might be that person tonight in the prayer meeting and in your right place, but you're in the right place. But you have the cares. But you have a great shepherd. May we ever hear his voice. May we ever live like sheep in his sheepfold. May we ever follow him obediently. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, that gives queer encouragement to the preacher, you know. Still a work to be done. Them also I must bring. The Lord must do the work. A family member. The Lord's able to bring them. And they shall hear my voice. Maybe they haven't heard his voice for a long time. Maybe they've stayed away from God's house. But you know the Lord says, they shall hear his voice. They shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd for mine. I died for them. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts to encouragement tonight for his own name's sake.